This is an ABC podcast.
Welcome to Grandstand at Stumps on ABC Radio, Sport Digital and ABC Listen.
There was finally cricket on day four of the third men's test between Australia and South Africa, the pink test at the Sydney Cricket Ground after a full day was lost yesterday because of the rain. It came again this morning and everyone was waiting after lunch, but finally there was play, and because the delay was so long, Pat Cummins, the Australian captain, declared at the overnight score from day two of four for 475, letting Usman Khawaja not out on 195 and Matt Renshaw on five. And it left South Africa 59 overs to face. And they lost Dean Elgar for 15, Cyril Erveyor for 18, Henri Claassen for two, Themba Bavuma 35, Kaya Zondo for 39, and Kyle Verena for 19, with a devastating spell by Pat Cummins, who finished with three wickets, two for Josh Hazlewood and one to Nathan Lyon. South Africa perilous, six for 149 with Marco Jansen. I'll tell you what, he showed some ticker late, under fire, especially from Cummins. He's 10, and Simon Harmer not out six. Six for 149 in reply to Australia's four declared for 475 with 98 overs left in the test. Welcome to Grandstand at Stumps alongside two legendary Australian fast bowlers, Stuart Clarke and Glenn McGrath. I'm Andrew Moore, and it's great to be with you. Glenn, it's been a huge few days for you with, obviously, Jay McGrath Day yesterday washed out. A lot of the ceremonial aspect of that resumed today, and we finally got some cricket.
Yeah, no, it's great to see some cricket there, and the Australians came out. They were up for it, weren't they? When you declare when one of the guys batting is 195 not out, you know they're up for it. And cricket is a team sport. I thought they may have just batted on, allowed Uzi to get his 200, but it shows his team and the strength of this team and how they feel. And, you know, to have South Africa six down and to play that first session is going to be vitally important. If they can knock over some early wickets, we'll wait and see what happens.
You've stolen Stuart Clarke's favourite line of all time. Stuart, good evening to you. Welcome to Grandstand at Stumps with Australia in a great position.
Thanks, mate. It's been a tough slog for the Australians. Interesting. I'm not sure about the decision. We'll ask hopefully Uzi, but look, they were that close. You know, we'll talk to a man in a second, that a couple of millimetres to the right, and we're having a different conversation. They're seven down, just didn't spin enough. But they're trying hard. You can see there's opportunities at all times. There'll be plenty of opportunities tomorrow. Hopefully they can get 14 wickets tomorrow.
All right, Stuart Clarke, Glenn McGrath, Andrew Moore with you on the boundary, right in front of the members' pavilion here at the SCG. That man that Stewie was referring to is Australian off-spinner Nathan Lyon. One wicket could have been better than that. Gee, there were some close calls. How did you find it out there?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, to be honest. It's set up to be a thrilling day of Test cricket tomorrow, if I'm being honest, and that's what we want to do, and we'll come here tomorrow and push really hard.
98 overs left to create some magic. I know the follow-on is normally a thing of the past these days, but a circumstance like this may well be there.
100%, 100%. We need to take four wickets before they get 275, and then we'll go on from there. But, yeah, our understanding is that we're bowling for the next day. So we're not used to doing it, but we'll be ready to do it, that's for sure.
There's plenty of rough. There's turns been slow, but when you get it in the right spot, it really rips. You were unlucky there a couple of times, almost, and I was talking about LBW, it was almost there.
Yeah, especially when he's got a bat and he doesn't use it. But, that's part of the game. Like, we just got to do the basics really well. There is enough there if we do it. It's really slow off the wicket. That's what's making it a little bit more challenging. But saying that, hopefully we got a new ball, 30-odd overs away. So that may make a difference as well. But we'll rest up and come again tomorrow.
And, Lino, you changed end. You come down the Paddington end for two overs. You went, not happy here. You went back to the Paddington end. You find it more rough from that end, or what was the reasoning behind that?
A little secret I'll have to tell you off air, but it's just changing ends up and see what we can do, see if we can create anything, but always good fun.
The media always wants to know about what goes on with declarations. I assume the plan kept changing when all the rain hit and we had a whole washout yesterday and again no cricket today. Was it the plan initially to bat on and put South Africa further under the pump and see Uzi get to a double century potentially? Did that all change with rain today?
Yeah, it all changed, that's for sure. Our conversations were to potentially come here this morning and bat for another 75 to 100 runs and try and as quickly as we could, just to really push that follow-on out a little bit further to put South Africa under pressure. But as soon as the rain came, that changed, and it meant we had to bowl first, which means obviously unlucky for Uzi to miss out on that big milestone, but 195 is better than none.
The ball, when you got out there, wicket looked like a little bit of moisture in it, but then Cummins and Hazelwood, they were outstanding early on. Hazelwood hasn't played for a while, but he didn't miss a trick there.
No, and that shows the class of our depth of our fast bowlers. When the ball's shifting a little bit, and you can see the different skill set of with Paddy coming around the wicket there using the bounces and then using that fuller ball to hopefully get LBW, which was a plan they came up with a couple of years ago when Josh got in a little bit of trouble a couple of years ago in New Zealand. But, yeah, that's a plan that they're able to do, and they've got the skill set to do it.
And it's great to see there's no shortage of fast bowlers at the moment. And Scotty Boland, you know, he's the people's champion, as everyone's calling him. How is Scotty? Must be disappointed to miss out here, but obviously a great team man too.
Oh, he's unbelievable. He's probably up there one of the best team mans going around. He's never complained about anything or any job, especially when he has to do the night watchman role. So I'm pretty happy about that, having him in around the team. But, no, Scotty's exceptional. But it's not just Scott. You've still got Michael Nessa and Lance Morris sitting there waiting to go as well. So the depth of Australian fast bowlers is pretty exciting.
We spoke to Ashton this morning. He said it was, you know, different coming from short version cricket into a test match where he's been playing. You've been speaking to him, talking about the game, talking about long version cricket. Not that he needs your advice, but he's sort of coming from the short version into the long version quickly.
Yeah, I think that's just having cricket conversations, to be honest, and about having giving opportunity to learn, and that's me learning off Ashton as well. I think the more cricket conversations we have, the better off we're going to be in the long run, and especially with India around the corner, having two spinners talking about the game, it's pretty special. So I know I'm really enjoying bowling with another spinner. Looking forward to seeing what we can do tomorrow. It's going to be a thrilling day's test cricket.
And leading into tomorrow, the pitch itself, do you think it's changed much from when you guys batted? There seemed to be a little bit more in it, a little bit of reverse swing. So there's positives for you guys to feel you can take the 14?
Yeah, definitely. 98 overs to create 14 chances. I think it's enough time. We've just got to do the basics really well, to be honest. And with the wicket, I think it is deteriorating. I would love to play on it with no weather around. I think the weather has held it together a little bit better, but I'm no good at maths, but no, how many overs have been on it? Only about 200, just less than 200 overs of test cricket. And you've seen the rough out there. So if we were able to have the full game, it would have been bloody exciting and good fun to bowl.
190 is the official figure Saf just gave
Thanks,
me.
Andrew.
Yeah, well done, Stewie. The crowd was ready to enjoy stuff because they've been sitting around forever. 24,000 yesterday, 22,000 today, and they were really responding. That spell at the end by Pat Cummins, I thought Jansen actually showed a fair bit of ticket to hang in there because Pat was on fire, wasn't he?
Pat is the best in the world, and there's a reason for it. But on the crowd, it's bloody special. They could have easily just went home and just with the weather, they're not sitting in the stand there, be all right in the box somewhere there, Pidge. But I reckon what they've been able to do, hang around for yesterday especially, it's remarkable. And I'm really hoping that there's a really decent crowd out here because the boys do lift off the back of the bit of noise out there. And so fingers crossed there's a decent crowd here tomorrow.
Well played today. Good luck tomorrow.
Too easy. Thanks, guys.
Nathan Lyon, the Australian off-spinner, joining us on Grandstand at Stumps with Glenn McGrath and Stuart Clark. I always find it interesting speaking to him because today, Glenn, it was the pace bowlers who stole the limelight in terms of wickets. They took five, spinners took one.
Yeah, well, that's what fast bowlers do, isn't it? They go out there, they do the hard yards and really put the pressure. But on the SCG pitch where it was earmarked that it was going to turn, and as Nathan Lyon said then, would have been nice to get full sort of 4 days of sun beating down on it. It would have broken up, it would have been good footmarks, it would have turned. So that's the way it goes with cricket. Some days bowlers get wickets, you know, they bowl well. Other days you bowl well and you don't take wickets. So cricket's a team sport, and that's what we love about it.
The wicket hasn't. It turns as the game goes on. That's obvious because of the rough that's created. But if you look at statistically at the SCG, the spinners have had a tough time of it, and the fast bowlers have picked up the wickets, whether it be through reverse swing, whether it be through variable bounce, whether it be through, you know, being nasty and fasty, you know, whatever it may be. It's the fast bowlers have got a better record here in the last 15 years or so, and you know, if you look back, Warne, McGill and people like that, they were different types of spinners, and the wicket surface was a lot different than what it used to be. So the fast bowler's got a big job tomorrow. Nathan Lyon's got a big job tomorrow. And you know, there's also Ashton Agar's got a big job tomorrow with the rough that will be created from Cummins and Hazelwood bowling over the wicket.
South African Tail's got a big job tomorrow too. They've got to hang as long as they can, because their only reality at the moment, boys, is to chew off as many of those 98 overs as they can in that first session tomorrow. Like Glenn said, a very important first hour.
Very important. It always is, Andrew. Every match we've ever played is a very important first hour. If the Tail can bat for 50, for the four wickets here, if they can bat for 40 overs, that gives the top order in the second inning so much of an upside. If they get knocked over quickly, well, it's going to be a long day for them.
Yeah, if they're going to bat for 40 overs, they might also score a few runs. And if they go along at sort of 3 runs and over, they'll get past that follow-on, and it would be interesting. But I think, you know, Australia, the way they've cleaned up the Tail previously, get through this partnership, it could happen very quickly.
If they get past the follow-on, right, do Australia take the punt and then just say, oh, you know, we're going to drop you back in again? Because Australia can declare naught for naught.
Before we get there, we should pay tribute to the fact that it's been a long time since South Africa scored 276.
I do, but they don't have to bat again. They could actually just set them 250 overs. I'm not saying they would do that, don't get me wrong. It's a risky move.
Gutsy.
It's a gutsy move, but
that'd be baseball-esque, wouldn't it? That's the sort of thing Stokes and McCullum might do at the moment.
In reverse.
Or they might come out and bat 5 or 6 overs, go along at 10 and over, another 50, happy days. Then throw them back in.
Bowling figures for Australia. Josh Hazelwood, 12 overs, 3 maidens, 2 for 29. Pat Cummins, 14 overs, 5 maidens, 3 for 29. Nathan Lyon, 25 overs, 8 maidens, 1 for 65. Ashton Agar, 7 overs, a maiden, none for 19. It must be a great feeling, Glenn. I know because of the weather, the crowd was a little down, 19,000 odd officially today. But when you are on a roll, when you're getting wickets regularly, when you know the opposition is under the pump and the crowd, whether it's here as a home ground in your case, in Stewie's case, or anywhere within Australia, that must be awesome when you're riding the crest of that atmospheric wave.
Oh, exactly right there, Andrew. And if there's anything I miss from the game, it's that atmosphere, top of your mark, the crowd's building, the noise is building. It is very special. And when you've got that home ground advantage, or that you've got your Tail up, it's amazing what you can do. And up in the commentary box, you don't even have to be watching the game. You can be just out and you can tell just by how the crowd's going. If you can always tell if it's a wicket or if it's nearly a wicket just by the atmosphere, the noise level. And, yeah, it's good to see them hang around here and get a bit of cricket to watch.
And don't be humble, Stu. You had that too, especially this ground. How does it change your performance, if at all?
You know, it becomes addictive. Once you get a little bit of it, you want more and you want more and more. When you're standing, when you're knocking over guys and when you're getting a few wickets, and the crowd are excited, and you know, you take a wicket, you go down to fine leg where you're usually fielding, the crowd are sort of cheering your name. It's a great feeling, and it does bore you. You go out next over, you feel a bit more confident, you feel like things are going your way, and then you get another one, and then they're chanting and they're singing and they're yelling, whatever it may be. You get that sense of, you know, and then you get addicted to it, and you want to have more and more and more of it. So Glenn's right. One of the hard things to replace when you finish playing cricket or playing any or doing anything at a high level is that buzz or that noise or that adrenaline rush you get from 20, 30, 50, 100, whatever it may be, chanting your name.
No, exactly right, in that atmosphere. And it is a special feeling that you can't replicate in any other sort of part of life that I've found as well. And, you know, I'm retired from all forms of cricket. I know Saf's back playing fourth grade with a young fella. Do you get the same buzz when you're at fourth grade down at Southo or Tonkin or wherever you play these days?
The only buzz I get is my creaking of my back as I run into bowl. That's the only buzz I feel.
I reckon there's a bit of white noise going on as he's running in for his sixth over of a spell. There was one controversial moment, and it's on the back of something we'd previously seen in the series. Dean Elgar looked like he'd been caught in the most spectacular way by Steve Smith. This is what unfolded.
No, not that.
Oh, edge caught, second slip. What a catch, Stephen Smith, 100, down to his right. What an amazing catch.
Freeze
okay,
that there,
he's
please.
Caught I'm it, and the ball touched the ground.
He's not give that out. It's not out.
Looking at the reverse angle from behind the slip fielder now, and the crowd
are not happy. And I honestly, the body language of the Australians to me is resigned acceptance.
Resigned acceptance, because it was a great catch by Stephen Smith. At no stage did the ball ever leave his hands or hand, which was very close to the ground. There was a roll of the wrist and the ball, albeit fully in his grasp, did touch the grass. And I think you probably summed it up well on air, Stewie, that you think it's a catch, but there's no way on earth it's going to be given out.
It comes down to, did he have control of the ball? And I thought he did have control of the ball before it hit the ground. Now, the problem he had is, in the first innings, when they didn't give Harmer the catch standing at first slip off Labuschagne, for a very, very similar, not exactly the same, but similar, it was almost like, well, if you didn't give that one out, you won't give this one out. Oh, I don't know. That rule's always irking everyone in the world of cricket, because as a former cricketer, you sort of know when you've got your fingers underneath it. But if you look at the TV pictures, those two-dimensional shots that you get, can't really say definitively it's out. Unless it's 6 inches above the ground, they just give them not out all the time. So I don't know why the point is of going to that technology, because they're always not out. And it was frustrating because it was a super catch. It was an unbelievable effort to dive across in front of first slip and pick it up.
Yeah, exactly right, Saf, and I agree. To me, both those catches that we've seen this match are out. From a cricketing perspective, fielding perspective, you know they're out. But technology, or the way the rule is at the moment, states that, I'm not sure, but yeah, I haven't seen a single one of those catches given out when it's been referred when it's like that. To me, it's more about the one that clearly bounces. You see it bounce and then go up slightly as it comes to the hand. They're the ones that aren't out. But I don't know if it's technology or what it is. Until technology improves, or whether common sense improves, I don't know. It's one of those things.
It is one area of the game that technology isn't up to speed to determine that, because that's clear. You cannot tell when you're freezing it frame by frame by frame. You can with the technology, with LBWs and with Snicko and caught behinds. One in a thousand you get caught out with runouts because it's a frame by frame or a stumping. But by and large, that technology is really reliable. This is not. So they've got to come up with a different plan, don't they?
I was going to say, the only way is if there was some way they could virtually impose where the hand is under the ball, and you see it clearly under the ball, and you see the blades of grass sticking up. And, you know, it's one of those things. It's, I'm not sure how they fix it, I think, but technology definitely has to improve.
I think the other thing that happens is, depending on who's in the third umpire's box, sometimes they give them out and sometimes they don't, depending on the person up there. So then you get into a whole another level of complexity of, well, some are giving them out and some are not giving out. And it happens more normally they don't give them out, but occasionally you get one that you look at just like that and they give it out. And you go, well, hang on, how's that different to every other one?
So my call on that is, I'm not worried if they get it right all the time, or it's about consistency.
Correct.
And if they're consistent, I'm happy. If they're consistently wrong, then at least they're consistent. So,
And the word of the fielder now means nothing, does it? Unless they're saying, no, I didn't catch it, I got it on the half volley. Otherwise, it means zero.
In fairness to Smith, he went, look, I don't know. I think I've caught it, but I'm not standing here not saying anything. You guys have to sort that out.
Players aren't umpires, that's fine.
The umpire on the field, the soft signal was not out. Now, whether that makes any difference, and I'm being led to believe that doesn't make any difference here. So what's the point of having that then?
It's surprising, because I thought today's catch was more out than the other day, and the other day soft signal was out. So to me, both catches are out, but as soon as they have the technology to review it, doesn't matter what the umpire says.
We spoke earlier on Grandstand at Stumps with Nathan Lyon. He did only pick up the one wicket despite bowling very, very well, and Cirilla Vaya, their opener, just didn't play a shot. This is how it went.
Quite deep backward square as well. Completes the fielder and he's bowled him. Nathan Lyon has bowled Cirilla Vaya with the straight honour. It's just slid on. He's left it alone and it just flicked the top of off stump, and Lyon has the second wicket. Cirilla Vaya is on his way for 18. It's a very clever piece of spin bowling, or non-spin bowling in this case. And South Africa in trouble now, 2 for 37.
So that was the joy for Nathan Lyon and heartbreak for Avaya, as he realised by not playing a shot, he'd cost himself his wicket. But the excitement came with Pat Cummins. The Australian captain was steaming in late in the day, ended up with a 3-wicket haul.
Oh, that's good delivery. He's got him, caught down the leg side. Bouncer from Cummins. And he's fended off, and Carey takes the catch, and Cummins has a third wicket. And South Africa are in retreat.
Cummins goes in, pitches up, hits the bat. How is that? Out! It's LBW. The finger is up. Will he review this? It was full and straight. It looked pretty adjacent. And they're all celebrating. And he's going to review it.
We're getting another look. I think the finger's going to go up here. I don't think there's any alternative evidence to the original decision by umpire Gaffney. His finger goes up and Zondo is on his way.
Bowls to Verena. Edges out! Yeah. Taken at the first of the slips by Stephen Smith. Cullen strikes again. He has 3 for 23. And South Africa is 6 for 137. Verena, Court Smith, bowled Cummins for 19.
He had them ducking, weaving, jumping, and concerned about Yorkers. He had it all going on, Pat Cummins.
He had it all going. He bowled beautifully this evening, late in the night. He just shortened up Yarnza and he shortened up. He shorted them all up and then he slid in the big full Yorker and trapped him in front. One of the ones he wasn't in that highlights package was the LBW that got referred. Upstairs, Janssen played forward to a ball, didn't play a shot, hit him on the pad. Ball was clipping the stumps. The Australians referred it upstairs. I want to change that. If you don't play a shot, you should lose all right, because you've got a bat, and if you're not going to use it, if it's hitting the stumps, you're out. Put your bat in the way. That's entertainment. We're always talking about entertainment and light and clouds. Padding up to balls is not entertainment. It's boring.
Were you much of a patter-upper? Did you ever get out that way?
I'd like to say, no, I didn't, but I did. And that was only in the 2001 match at Eden Gardens against Harbhajan Singh. It's getting a lot of bounce in that track, but anyway, different story. But, that's the only time I got... No, I think I may have got out, patted out to Jimmy Adams or something out here as well for 24, but we won't mention those.
Usually got bowled, mate. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, no, I would have liked DRS. I never got to use it, never played when it was around. And I don't think there would have been many left by you get down to number 11 anyway. No referrals left, but it's a bit hard to stand there and refer when you're looking in all three stumps on the ground.
Well, you played with Watto, didn't you? No, sorry, Shane, only kidding.
Tell me the last time someone got out of LBW and didn't refer it.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often. I tell you, the guys that don't refer to the New Zealanders, they walk down and go, yeah, I think I'm out. They're the only blokes in the world cricket that never refer it. Everyone else are referring that.
They've got a massive honesty system going over there.
They're just too nice. It annoys me how nice they are.
I asked you this, Stewie, this morning about what resolve is left in this South African team. Now, the fact is, as a batting unit, they're not very good at this level. They struggle to get 200. And here again, they're 6 for 149. But what they have to show tomorrow is resilience, ticker, and we saw that from Marco Janssen in particular late on this day. What can they summons tomorrow, knowing their only hope of any joy is surviving 98 overs against this Australian team?
I think the other word you probably missed there is pride. What is the pride in that South African hat, and where does it sit within them? What have you got to do to not let Australia clean sweep you 3-0 in this series? What have you got to do to put some personal pride in your own performance? What have you got to do to make sure that the Australians just don't steamroll us tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon? And that's the question they should all ask themselves. Yeah, we saw it last year with England. They, down there in Hobart, it was like, oh, well, it's all done. We're on the plane, QF1 home. South Africa, I hope they've got more fight in them, because it'll be an entertaining game's cricket if they do. And the reward is we can compete with Australia at this level. Can we beat Australia? Well, we haven't got that far yet. But if they don't bowl them out, it's a feather in their cap that we competed with a pretty good red-hot Australian side and they didn't let us beat them. And we didn't get beaten by them.
It's a real time to look inside for them, isn't it?
Yeah, no, they've got to dig deep and find something, because if they start thinking about Monday or whenever they fly back to South Africa, then all of a sudden things are going to happen. They're going to happen very quickly. So, yeah, we've spoken about it. That first hour tomorrow, if they can get through that first session, they're half a chance to survive. If they get rolled, get knocked over, then it's going to get tough, and you're going to feel the pressure and everything within the room before they even walk out.
I'm sorry to talk, David, there. I'm still flummoxed by you being out not playing a shot to Jimmy Adams. I can't quite get over that image. In terms of the McGrath Foundation, when we had you on this morning, I think it had just ticked over to 180 or 190,000. I'm looking at it now. It's a live tally. And for these virtual pink seats that have been purchased, up to 229,922.
as it goes up literally every second or two here at the SCG. So, as we said, the goal, Glenn, as you mentioned on day one, was 150,000, and it's been comfortably surpassed again, which is great news for breast cancer sufferers and the ability for the McGrath Foundation to provide healthcare nurses.
Yeah, exactly right. I think it was closing in on 180,000 there this morning to be sitting here and closing in on 230 is absolutely incredible. The support from people around the country has been nothing short of extraordinary. So, yeah, that means about 3,000 or more families will have the support of a McGrath breast care nurse in the next 12 months. So, yeah, it's this test match has grown into something special, and people really come out and support it both here and at home in a big way.
But the late push is 300,000 possible by Stumps tomorrow, which will be double the goal.
Oh, love that. That'd be absolutely incredible. But we'll see how we go. Normally, day three is the big day. We lost it through rain. Today was a bit of both, really, wasn't it? So, but yeah, the support again has been absolutely incredible, and you know, we're just over the moon. We're just incredibly proud and humbled by that support.
We may even see sunshine on the final day in Sydney. We may. The weather forecast, 25 degrees and sunny Sydney, you little beauty. It was never in doubt.
Oh, we just get a couple of days with a bit of rain. You blokes carry on. What can we do?
Well, with three New South Welshmen here, there's more carry on from over... Actually, those of us who have been living here for a while, we're the number one.
It's been a bit hard, hasn't it, with Sydney with the rain? Couple of years, we've had unfortunate rain.
We've got 90 seconds left of Grandstand at Stumps. So just... give me an impression of what you're expecting to see tomorrow.
This is what I think is going to happen. Australia going to walk out. They'll pick up a couple of wickets early. We know the tail's pretty soft for South Africa. And I think by lunchtime, they'll be three down in the second innings.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to disagree or agree with Saaf. I want to come out here and see a good game of cricket right down to the wire. Think back in 2009, that first Sydney Pink Test, a vision of Graham Smith walking out with a broken hand, trying to save it against Mitchell Starc, who's bowling like a rocket and just gets his off stump ripped out. So that was late on day five. This is a totally different game at the moment. I think South Africa is struggling. Yeah, I'm worried that if wickets start falling, they can continue to fall, and it could be all over before tea if they get in that role.
Australia will have 98 overs to take 14 wickets. South Africa will have 98 overs to save some pride and go down 2-0 in the series as opposed to 3-0. They are 6 for 149, needing 276 to avoid the follow-on. Stewie, see you tomorrow.
See you, Andrew. Looking forward to it. Big day of cricket. Come on, the Aussies.
Glenn McGrath, likewise, mate. Thanks for your company today.
Cheers, Andrew. Cheers,
Thank you to all the team. With the voice of summer, Jimmy Maxwell, all our broadcasters, our producer, Matt Clinch, who's been on fire today, our technical department, Dennis Carnahan in the turnbuckle, and all the team, Ranelle Moa, back in the studio, and Brett Sprigg. I'm Andrew Moore. Thanks for joining us.